A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the Sound of Succession podcast with Jamie East and Chris Mandel, is part of the Dragon Cast series where we talk about the best TV shows in the world. HBO, please don't sue us.
You know what to do, like and subscribe, but fuck off.
Exciting new show alert. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Sound of Succession. I'm Jamie East.
And I'm Chris Mandel.
Right, before we get into anything, can we have a straw poll vote on my rushed, hasty theme tune?
Well, I listened to this yesterday. I listened to our pre-season 4 episode when I went on the bus.
Oh, nice.
And you texted me about the theme tune, hadn't you? You'd said to me, heads up.
Apologies in advance.
Didn't have a lot of time. It was a sort of a... I was shocked when I heard it, I have to say. Grew to like it by the end, but it's quite something, isn't it?
It's quite something. but it's annoyingly, I think it's going to stick. A couple of people have already said I sound like Morton Harkett. It's not for me to decide.
Is that a compliment?
I think. What? To be compared to the evergreen Peter Pan of pop Morton Harkett from 80s band A-ha? I would say so. He's a mess.
I mean, I thought it was delightful.
Fine. Lovely stuff. Well, look, if we feel fresh and reinvigorated, we did our pre-season 4 kind of catch-up in a grisly Starbucks opposite the British Museum on Wednesday last week, was it?
Thursday last week. Just a few days ago.
God, it feels like a lifetime ago. And we then immediately went in and watched the episode. I've then watched the episode, I think, at least, twice more since then.
Yeah.
Mrs. East wanted to watch it, then I needed to watch it to make some notes. So
yeah.
I feel already kind of like Damien Hirst has dropped me in like a formaldehyde made up of Logan Roy's juices.
Yeah, that's beautifully put. So you feel quite scholarly in regards to the episode, or just that you're immersed in that world?
I feel immersed in. I don't feel particularly scholarly, because it makes Succession's got a great knack of making you feel very stupid, I think.
Yes. Well, before we went into the episode on Thursday, yeah, I was talking to somebody who had seen it already, because some people get sent episodes before the screening. And this person had seen 4 episodes, and he said, I'm really looking forward to watching this episode again, because a lot of it didn't make sense. And I have had that with the show before, where watching it a second time, you catch bits of dialogue. Like
100%.
Yeah. Every line of dialogue on this show is sort of working quite hard. And I think definitely, like, when we watched the episode on Thursday, there was so much, like, people were just having such a good time. There was some laughs and there was lots of...
It was fucking... No, let's not beat around the bush, Chris. It was fucking annoying. I hated it. There was a lot of cast and crew in there, and it was great. But Succession is not Friends. It's not a lolathon. It's not something that you kind of like... And there were people shrieking.
People were shrieking. And it was, you know, we're both very highbrow individuals. And exactly. Together...
Wearing a Fat Willy's Surf Shack baseball cap. Carry on.
Yeah. And together we are a potent combination of intellectualism. But the stuff that people were really laughing at was, like, if Greg just said like the voice. Word rummage, for example. Yeah. Yeah. Or if like Roman, if Roman is just calls like Ken like a dickhead or whatever, yeah. It's like 5 minutes of laughter. So I would say definitely, I did skip. I sort of ran through it quickly this morning just to pick up on bits because there were certain things that I had no idea why anything was happening or just things that you go over your head because you're so busy taking it all in. What did you think of the episode then?
I thought it was great. I mean, you're right. You did need to watch it a second. You know, we talk about we talk about House of the Dragon, where we said not a shot wasted.
Yes.
I feel the same for Succession with not a line wasted. It's like you say, the script does work really hard, and there's not a single thing that hasn't been, I don't think, deliberated, thought about, had alternatives written, tried out five different lines, blah, 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 blah. And you know, it's very economical, despite the fact that there's a lot of flowery dialogue and there's a lot of dialogue. It's still very economical in terms of in terms of how well it's been kind of crafted.
Yeah, I agree.
Really enjoyed it. It's very much a table setting scene. There were no kind of like huge jaw dropping moments. It was deeply emotional, weirdly emotional for a Succession episode. And I think both of us, we walked to the train station afterwards, chatted mostly about Tom and Shiv.
Yes.
And that was a surprise. I think all in all, it was a really good appetite whetter, and there were some amazing moments in there, some really good like things that you just know are going to cause cataclysmic horror in two or three episodes. There are also a couple of weak moments and things that felt a bit shit, a little bit maybe, or not shit, that's the wrong word, because nothing's shit, let's be frank. But just, I thought the whole Greg thing just felt like it really needs a purpose. You know, we've had him, you know, for a few seasons now. I've been like, oh, he's going to be the one to take them all down. He knows where the papers are. He knows this. He's going to get a casting vote. His uncle, his dad, or his grandfather's going to give him all of that, and all of those things kind of never amounted to anything. And now we're kind of, I feel a bit sad for Greg because he's kind of floundering a bit. So hopefully something will happen. I just hope he's not just being kind of, it just feels like a bit of a cartoon character in amongst it all, really. Especially as Tom seems to have turned an emotional arc.
Yeah, well, sometimes I think when Greg is left to his own devices, he feels like he's in an entirely different show.
Yeah.
Because it's the sort of stakes are so, I mean, they're not really there. But I agree. I think Greg is the one that I think is the least consistent, and it's hard to root for because it's just, he's the punching bag, right? Like he's always kind of there to, but when I was watching back, I enjoyed the storyline with his date having a designer bag.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
Not only a designer bag, but a massive bag, which to the Roys is just like, why would you need to carry stuff?
Yeah.
Why would you need to carry stuff? Why would you wear something like that? And we talked about this on our way home, that like the person who was worst to Greg and his date was Tom, who is the one person who wasn't born into this as well as him. And so it's interesting that he's the one that's like what did he say to her? Like, hang on, I have this written down. Like they say, what would he, it looks like a bag that you would throw across the floor.
Oh, you'd slide across the floor in a bank heist, which was the best line of, because what a weird line to write, but so evocative. It's like,
of course,
yes, exactly. It's Ocean's 11. It's fucking,
it's like you could fill it with money. And I think like it's just, so it was kind of, I like it when there's an outsider in their midst, and that Greg is the way to get that in.
Because they have no way of relating at all to it.
Just why would, yeah, we've said this before, that like I think it was actually maybe on our season 3 series, that like one of the cast was sort of told, like, you know, how do I learn how to get into a helicopter or something, do you remember?
That's right, yes.
And it was like, well, rich people don't wear coats because they're never really outside that long.
Yeah, they're never outside,
and so they don't wear, you wouldn't wear like a nice coat, they just have a jacket.
It's like helicopters, they never duck because they instinctively know that their head won't get chopped off.
Exactly, yes, exactly. It's stuff like that. And I think Yeah, we talked a bit in the last episode, actually, about Loro Piano, which is this Italian brand that, like, more expensive than your Burberry's, than your Gucci's, and it is, like, minimalist as fuck. And, like, the Row, which is, like, the Olsen Sisters brand, so expensive, and it's, like, you're not even supposed to be able to pick it out.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing.
You shouldn't be able to buy it. You shouldn't be able to tell when someone's wearing it, exactly.
But apart from the Greg stuff, which I thought, you know, it always feels a little bit like Wacky Races kind of Hanna-Barbera sort of comic.
The Disgusting Brothers,
Yeah, Disgusting Brothers. Yeah, I thought everything was... I thought more happened in this episode than I was expecting. I thought there was...
No, that's true.
Well, way more.
The final kind of... I thought that the last thing we would have seen... the last thing we did see was Logan and his late night call, but I wasn't expecting the Shiv and Tom standoff.
The big... Yeah.
Yeah, the big kind of finale, which I guess we'll come to in a bit, but let's set the scene. Obviously, this is very spoilery. Don't listen if you haven't watched the episode yet, although we've already started talking about it. Set a couple of months after, I'm going to say season three... finale, roughly a couple of months after. The kids are, or the Munsters are in LA, and that was the title of the episode, The Munsters. And Logan and his gang were in New York, and they love a birthday party. We started off, season one started off with Logan's birthday, right? Was it his 80th or 70th?
I can't remember. It must be...
It was a big birthday anyway, because we saw Tom...
I think if Ken just had... his 40th last season, Logan must be 70.
Yes. Yeah, that sounds about right.
That makes sense. Anyway, so has this just been a year since the show started, do you think? Or has there been a couple that we've maybe missed out on over the...
What, years?
Yeah.
No, we've not got a decade. No, I mean, I would say...
No. I mean, Logan had a birthday in season one. Is this his next birthday? Or have we missed a couple of his birthdays?
I think we must have. This can't have been all happening in one year, surely. Christ. Maybe.
I don't know. This is the thing. These people, there's not even any concept of time with these people.
Well, you can't judge it by, did it snow? You know, because they just go to Tuscany. You know.
Yeah. Anyway.
So a couple of months after season three finale, there's a presidential campaign running in the background, which I think is probably going to be really interesting later on.
Yes.
And we know that because Connor's, Connor's ridiculous presidential campaign is still running. He's clinging on to his 1%. But also Shiv gets a cryptic phone call from the Democratic transition team.
Yes.
I think we can surmise that the Democrats are expecting to win this. It sounds like a bitter campaign. The Democrats, you don't set up a transition team if you're planning on losing.
That's one of the things I missed on the first watch.
Yeah.
So
there's a bit of I think that's an olive branch that she may need in a few episodes time, perhaps, that she's got an out. And we learn that the 100 is being born. There's been focus groups. There's been logos drawn. The kids haven't been fired. They are still on the board, but are expecting to cash out within 48 hours when the Bojo deal goes through, when Mattison, when that all gets sorted. That seems to be kind of steaming ahead. And that, at first face, seems as though, right, that's where we are. That's what we've got. And then this episodic arc comes in, which is that, kind of an off-the-cuff remark from Tom to Shiv saying, oh, by the way, I had a drink, it was nothing sexual, with Naomi Pierce.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is where I'm kind of, fucking, how did they get from A to B so quickly? Because within 20 seconds, they'd guessed that that was because Logan had gone back to Nan Pierce and was attempting to buy Pierce again.
Yeah.
I would never have got to that. I would never have... reach that. Why is Logan buying that if he's just about to sell? Is it just for the hell of it? Just because he wants another? Is it to merge it into Waystar, or
so,
is he just buying it to kind of like, once he's sold it, he's got another toy to play with?
I think there's a couple of. It's hard to know because I think, you know, my understanding of what the business is, it's a sort of more liberal media company, right? Is that Would that be fair? Or is it just that it's
like... I
think
like they're left-leaning, but quite old-fashioned. I think
maybe like a Huffington Post kind of thing. Maybe.
I always see them as like a weird, like almost like a Hallmark,
MSNBC you said that last episode.
Kind of thing.
So why is he doing it? I imagine selling to Gojo's maybe making him feel like a man without a purpose. So maybe he wants to use the money to buy... But then it sort of seems completely silly, right? To like sell your media empire and then just buy another one.
Buy another one, yeah.
So I'm not really sure why he would entertain it. But also, you know, I like that we've got the Pierces kind of back in this final season because they were really good in season two.
Yeah,
really. And I like the revisiting it. Now, Nan hates Logan, right? Like part of the reason I think the deal fell apart was... She didn't care for Logan and his principles. She didn't want it to get turned into like part of his war machine, as it were.
Well, there was something. They were about to do the deal, though, weren't they? And then there were the tech. Then the story got leaked about the cruise ships.
Scandal, yes. So maybe
broke
part of
they were in the boardroom. I think, if I remember right.
Maybe part of it is now that they've resolved that and they've paid the fines, they've taken the hit. Yeah. They're able to have that conversation again. The other thing is, I got the impression, we talked about this on our walk after the episode, Nan wants to set her family up for generations of wealth by selling.
Yeah.
And I also wondered, just from your point, about the new Democratic candidate that seems to have come, it's like a new, this is a new, we've not heard about this character before. We heard about the far-right people last season, but we've not heard about the Democrats. That maybe because this politician is doing well, that they feel like we can sort of do a sigh of relief and sell. Like, I think part of the reason there was resistance was initially like, we can't have a far-right president or people with ties to the far-right. Yeah. We've got to stay strong and we've got to stay together. So I wonder if it's to do with that.
I also think that might be why Logan wants to buy it, because, you know, he's sensing a shift in the tides and he's going to Waystar is basically Fox News and he needs a kind of left-leaning thing to lean into the president,
absolutely
make him valuable to the president still.
The candidate last season that they had to sort of back was that Mencken. This is the one that Shiv had to have the photo with. Do you remember?
Oh, God, yes.
Who is the one, Jared Mencken. I can't remember the name of the new guy that they're sort of excited about.
No, I can't
either. But it's something... So, but I think also just to sort of like zoom out a little bit, Nan and Logan seem both like these two old school figureheads that are seeing the end on the horizon, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like they're both weighing up what they want to do with their legacies and what they want to do with their sort of brands. Logan seems particularly, you know, he's talking a lot about what happens after he died.
He's in a reflective mood, isn't he?
Very much so. And I think it's interesting that the first season started with a health scare. Final season, he's up all night watching television, like desperately trying to still be... You know, he rang up Sid, didn't he? And was sort of going, oh, what is all this bullshit?
Well, his whole kind of like, are you losing it? You know, it was like, who was he asking that to? You know, I think.
Yeah.
The thing. He's projecting quite a lot there.
Yeah, I can't quite I can't quite understand the need to purchase Pierce.
Who knows? But I mean, it did offer. I mean, Nan Pierce was the standout of the episode, I thought, with the exception of maybe Tom. You know, oh, this is disgusting. I'm hearing all these numbers 8, 9.
Yeah,
what's next?
Yeah,
so good, so good.
And I have a migraine. Like the migraine. She's such a player because they know she's doing, but she's just got the little old lady like.
Yeah, she's like the woman, the granny in Tom and Jerry, isn't she?
Butter wouldn't melt.
Sylvester and Tweety Pie, that's it. She's the one in the one. In
but that's the thing that's fascinating is we know she doesn't like what Logan stands for, and she says it's not about money, and she takes the highest offer.
But it clearly, she was just playing. That was all about money.
And the other thing is she does like Shiv, because when they were talking about it in season two, she said, I'll sell, but you got to make Shiv CEO. Do you remember? That was the whole thing.
Yeah.
And Shiv, it was a good episode for her. She did a lot of the work. She was the one going in. She was the one, you know, Roman and Ken, like, rightly stood back. But I still think Nan sort of drew a lot more blood out of them than they expected.
Well, God, I mean, they're just... It was a curious thing, wasn't it? I mean, it just shows, you know, we're a couple of months after the big finale when Logan beat them. You fucking lost, and mm-hmm. when they smell blood. They all Roman and Kendall, and in fact Shiv as well. Roman less so than the other two. All they wanted to do was to fuck over their dad, and just to kind of go do a bit of an heh heh. Mm-hmm. And Roman was quite mute about that. He felt, you could see, he was still clenching his arse cheeks about the thought of doing that. Mm. But, you know, they paid massively over the odds. And that was what Logan's point was congratulations on saying the highest number, you fucking morons. Because yeah. he wasn't cross that he'd lost to them, I don't think. He was cross that he'd just, that they were just doing bad business.
Yeah, you know, I think that.
He was a bit embarrassed that
yeah
it was a really uncouth kind of way of going about it, which is just to say the highest number, because that's not what Logan is about. Whenever we've seen Logan chatting to any kind of investor, whether it's Stewie, whether it's Matheson, or whether it's your man played by Adrian Brody,
yeah,
it's all about, you know, are we gonna fucking dance or what? It's all of the art of the deal, to quote some twat.
And that, is it the right time? He's got good yeah. instincts.
Does it feel good? Does it feel right?
Yeah,
great instinct. His point to them was, it felt right for Logan to do it. Logan had a purpose of doing it, although you and I are unsure what it was. But to them, it was just like, why the fuck are you buying this? And
yeah,
and that was a question they had asked themselves. And, you know, they talked themselves into it really quickly.
Yeah.
You know, they went from the 100, which was quoted as being Substack meets Masterclass meets The Economist meets The New Yorker, which is just nothing. Which is just yeah. bullshit, as Shiv rightly pointed out. It was just a Logan.
It's interesting, though, because they were, like, I think Logan wants them to do their own thing. So when they're like, well, we also bought a media company, he's like, no, you're not getting it. It's not yeah. about you doing what I'm doing, because you don't know how to run a media company,
yeah.
especially a legacy one.
And they, I thought, think when they would, do they would
exactly
like,
well, they think the job is to get their own giant robot and fight his giant robot in the middle of the street, and yeah. it's not about that. And when they were doing the 100, I mean, the idea was preposterous, but they did seem genuinely quite excited to be doing something. And also, you and I have been in the game long enough to know there have been so many more worse ideas in digital media than what they're proposing.
Most of them. Yeah.
Also, I just kept thinking, RIP Volta, the digital media arm that they did have.
Oh,
bring it back.
Yeah, just resurrect that. But yeah,
one,
it was...
One thing I wanted to ask about, the Naomi Pierce of it all. Mm. So she's obviously broken up with Ken.
Yeah.
Tom calls Shiv right at the top of the episode to say,
yeah.
it's not sexual. Why did he tell her? Is right. Tom tipping her off? Is Tom... So,
I got a theory about this, and it's something I half mentioned to you on Friday. The girl that Greg brings to the date, I think, is a plant by Nan Pierce.
Mm.
I think that Nan has played them all, like, to the letter. It was the girl that tagged one of the Pierces at the party.
Yeah, that was media. Bridget. This is Greg's date, isn't it? Tagged
yeah,
one of the Pierces.
That's right. And also, I think Nan put Naomi up to that drink or that clandestine kind of like
yeah, I think so.
Meeting, because she knew that Tom wouldn't be able to resist telling Shiv about it, and they yeah. just knew that the kids would have gone blah blah blah. I think they've just been played completely by the Pierces. I think,
and I think she's yeah. I think they're sort of playing into either they're playing into it, or there's just this sense that like Tom is just feels so guilty, because by the end of the episode, they have this amazing conversation, Tom and Shiv. It's yes. clear they've not talked about the betrayal, right?
No, exactly. And Tom tried to bring it up, didn't he? And Shiv
at the
just
end,
like,
yeah.
Don't want to know.
She said, I'd rather call it a day than even try and get into this.
Yeah.
Which is a really business-like way of like, I'm going to try and sell my stock in this rather yeah. than try and save the brand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
but I think so. I think Tom sort of did it out of guilt, and I thought the conversation he had with Logan was really interesting, because I thought this season, after this amazing betrayal, Tom would be in the golden circle, and he says to Logan, like, you know, if we do get divorced,
yeah.
are we good? And Logan says, if we're good, we're good, which
yeah.
is
if we're good, we're good.
Yeah. least like reassuring.
That's so heartening to hear. That's really
thanks.
Heartening. Yeah.
Thanks. Dad, you know, so I think he's, you know, done this great betrayal to get a leg up, but he's realized that, like, look, he's not Blood, not one of the guys. He actually means very little to Logan, even though he did a great thing. And maybe that's why he called her, to just give her a heads up. Not necessarily thinking they're going to try and buy the company, but...
No, you could well be right.
Yeah.
You could well be right. It was...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It was... Well, let's save Tom and Shiv for a bit later. Let's just talk... Let's have a bit of light relief now and talk very briefly about... I guess some of the smaller characters, because they all had some great moments. Connor and Willa, I mean, they're poor Willa having to dress like a first lady with her blouses and stuff was just like,
I know,
great. One step away from a tweed skirt and, you know,
how, box hat.
You know, she's still an ex-call girl, and that's never really been addressed as, like, yeah, you're not going to be present because you're going to get married to a call girl, and that might not fly when you're visiting the president of Uganda.
But
the whole, just Connor's such a great character, and has actually got, he's actually quite multidimensional. It's like you feel so sorry for him because he knows that he's... just the whole 1% thing with Greg going, when he was like, oh, I'm getting squeezed on my percent. And he was like, what, squeezed on a percent? What, down? You know, it's like...
Greg's like, that's the lowest number. You can't squeeze that anymore.
It was like, well, there's decimals. So is there a chance of winning? It's like, oh, God, no. You
know,
it's
no, like, yeah.
This holds my percent, you know. Oh.
I think Connor and Willa are used so cleverly because they're never the focus. And they just come out in these little bits and pieces that are just so compelling. Willa, deadpan, over this shit, exhausted, but also loving the proximity to power.
Yeah.
And Connor, I mean, I thought there was a real, you know, what is it, 100 million he needs to stay at 1%. Connor is like, and he's like, I've either wasted all the money I've spent so far, or I'm going to waste nine figures more. But it's like, I need to wait. I need the 100 million in order for the money I've already wasted to not look like a waste of time. It's not happening, is it? It's just not happening. I mean, it's just tragic. It was so much money.
There's not even an analogy for this that you can use in like normal life, because I don't even know what that would be. It's the equivalent of throwing good money after bad. It's like, you know, you're in a casino, you've already lost all your wages, so it's not even that, because he can afford it, but it's such a preposterously large sum of money. And that's what Willa is kind of like, that's what they're all kind of like, what, 100 mil? And even Connor's like, that's a lot of money. And when Willa's a bit of self-preservation mode, but, you know, if you did spend it, you'd still be rich. Right, and he's like, but just 100 mil less, you know. It's like, it's just
astonishing amount of money, and it's like it is so clever, because I don't understand how presidential elections work. I don't know how, you know, elections are funded in our country, but it is an astonishing amount of money to do very little, to achieve very little, and trying to mentally process $100 million. Well, makes my head hurt.
I mean, I'm sure I get a lot wrong here, and apologies to our American listeners, but it's a lot different in the UK. You have a very set amount that you can spend, and it's not a huge amount. But the vast majority of, on both sides of the Atlantic, in most kind of political campaigns, are funded by donors. And the point of that is that, you know, you get, you know, someone donates a couple of $10 million to your presidential campaign, and then you never know, all of a sudden a load of oil nuclear power plants get past the lobbyists, and once it's done, that's not what I assume happens. And that's what's different with Connor is that, you know, there are no donors. There's no one backing him. There's no one going, you're my guy. You know, I'll see you right for another 30 mil.
Yeah.
Because it's just a vanity. It has never been anything more than a vanity project. And
yeah,
the fact that he's already walking around with the Stars and Stripes pin badge on.
I know.
The family's just like, oh, geez.
It's so funny that he's sort of, yeah, the sort of all the costume of it all.
Yeah.
But it's 100 million to not be embarrassed. In his eyes, it's in order to avoid being humiliated, he needs to spend 100 million. Do you know what? I would rather, and this is not the hottest take, you could make me the most humiliated man on the planet if I could have 100 million. Yeah. I would go and live on an island and I would not give a shit. And it's so interesting. They're just all desperate to mean something outside of the family and to stand for something. It's not enough to be healthy, happy. But Willa, to me, just MVP. Every scene she's in, I just obsessed. And you know the titles of the next two episodes have been released. Episode 3, Connor and Willa's wedding.
Oh,
it's going to be amazing.
Will it be at the Statue of Liberty with carnival bands and confetti cannons?
So this was the thing, wasn't it? So Connor said, in order to get some PR and some media exposure, why don't we do the wedding at the Statue of Liberty with like a jazz band and
which is like the worst wedding ever.
She was like, I just want a nice wedding.
Yeah, oh, I kind of thought that maybe we'd have... I just call me old-fashioned. I just wanted a nice wedding.
It's one that isn't at the Statue of Liberty. So I loved that. I love seeing them. Who else?
Kerry had some great lines as well. This is not a fucking Shake Shack, Greg. this is not a pre-fuck party. It's a birthday party, Greg.
She is also a really good character. So she's really still got Logan's ear. Doesn't really have, like... a role at the company, but she's just his like executive.
Are they shagging? I mean, there's the whole thing at in season 3 finale that Logan was trying to get her pregnant.
Baby batter. She's improving his baby batter.
She's improving his baby batter by feeding him those like figs or the seeds or whatever it was.
But there's there was quite a lot of talk in the season 3 finale that they were sleeping together and that she might even be pregnant. I actually think it's a bit of a misdirection. I don't think they are. I think she's just a really good example of sort of manipulating the fact that she's in his good graces.
But the kids are out and out, just kind of like shouting over on speakerphone, get my dad's cock out your mouth.
Yeah, Roman said that.
She doesn't argue against it.
But she also knows, like, she's above, she's got so much more power than they have.
Yeah, true.
She's got the guy, you know, where she needs him. I think she'll be a force to be reckoned with, and I think she'll have a good season.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's in all of the kind of staff roles, the ones that we've seen in previous seasons at the forefront have actually swapped. So, like, you know, Colin, the security guy, had a great moment. You know, he's been in every season, Colin has, and has said nothing. All he's done is stand in front of doorways and fetch Logan's coat and be kind of aggressive towards the kids. But actually... there was a great, you know, the moment in that diner where Logan was just clearly just looking for a bit of normality instead of the fucking... He hates feeling that people are just, like, using him as a bit of a meal ticket, doesn't he? Like,
yeah. He's
like, look at this. Yeah. And then he said that weird thing to Kerry, didn't he? He was like, I thought there'd be some clergy here. As if it's like...
Yeah.
Like a cardinal, at least.
But
there was that moment he said to Colin, he's like, you're my best pal, which... I thought it felt like a bit of a clunky line. It's a bit of a weird kind of like cliched kind of scene, really. But I thought it was good that Colin just looked horrified at that. He was like, oh my God.
I think that's what I loved, that here's someone who doesn't want to be around any of this. Like, he's like, I'm just here to get a check. And, you know, I've just got like, he's just here for work. And he's not. But yeah, they took a walk through, I guess, Central Park. Because I presume the penthouse is sort of one of those beautiful buildings bordering like there.
It's a building kind of thing, isn't it?
And I love that Colin is like 20 steps behind. Logan, sort of, at first you see him, you think, oh, he's walking through the park by himself. And then Colin is like just there.
Yeah.
And yeah, and he seems really reflective, very pensive. I mean, if you told me he was terminally ill, I'd believe you. But I think more realistically, he's just, it's getting, and they talk about life and death, and I thought, God, I've never really seen this side of him before. But Logan believed that, he said in this episode, this is it. There's nothing coming after this.
Yeah, exactly. We didn't see much from Frank or Jerry or Carl, really.
They were all clustered at the party, but not really.
Yeah, we saw a bit of their kind of uncomfort at the kind of Logan desperately trying to get some roast going. He's like, oh, come on, roast me. And like, you know, none of them could. Fucking Carl's was just like, oh, you're such a mean guy, you know. What a tough cookie. And then Greg comes out and, where are your kids, Logan? It's like, whoa.
On your birthday, where are they?
Yeah, and Logan loved it. He kind of pushed back and said, where's your dad? Giving hand jobs at the cotton fields or something like that. He said, I can't remember what he said now. It's great.
So there's been a few times it's been implied that Greg's dad is gay, right? I'm not making that up.
Yeah, I think, yes, exactly, that he kind of just left in disgrace or just did a runner.
I hope we see Greg's kind of dad. I think that'd be really funny. I think Logan is more disgusted at the people that won't make fun of him than the people that do a bad job making fun of him.
Well, that's what he wants. He's just trying to feel alive. His throne is feeling a bit shaky, and he's obviously got a sense of mortality. He's clearly mulling the imminent sale to Bojo and feeling, what's Gojo. My purpose? What's my purpose in all of it? What did I say?
Bojo.
I said Bojo again, didn't I? Gojo. It's not saying to Boris Johnson.
That's the last thing we need.
That is. But he's kind of like, he doesn't know where he features in the world. His kids, he doesn't want to speak. He wanted to speak to his kids on his birthday still, despite everything.
He called them on his birthday.
There was a little bit of tenderness going on there.
Yeah.
And they really shoved it in his face. But yeah, I mean, and I think that's where he ended up at the end, you know, late at night on his own, on his birthday, watching his own programming and bollocking someone because he didn't think it was good enough. And that guy did look like a testicle in a toupee, to be fair though, didn't he? Imagine the casting agent. Great news. You're in Succession, mate. You're in the season 4 premiere. Oh, crap, I'm going to tell my mum. Can't wait.
Great.
Guys, everyone, I'm a newsreader. It's a start, right? It gets me my SAG card. Everyone watch it. All you get is Logan calling you a testicle in a toupee. Perfect.
Yeah, it's interesting. And also, do you know what I liked is at the very end when Logan is just watching the telly, it was implied that it was at the very early hours of the morning. When Tom sort of pranked Greg with Logan watches all the CCTV back, it's sort of done as a joke, and then you're like, oh, but he does watch his empire. He watches everything. We're very Trump-esque, because that's what Trump used to do. But
that's pretty on brand for a lot of, I remember that there was a head of Sky Sports a few years ago, a guy called Vic Wakeling, who's renowned grizzly taskmaster. And he had 5 televisions in his living room, all
That's
on
wild.
At the same time, all playing different channels. And he would just sit and watch all of them at the same time. And he would do that. He would phone people up.
That's wild. The thing is interesting is that, the kids who were desperate to play at CEO, I don't think any of them, I've never seen them read a paper or really even watch the news.
They don't care about the content. They're just
not engaging with it at all.
Let's just wash the chicken shit off it. No, that was Kendall's phrase for all that needed doing with, they don't really know. They love a buzzword. You touched upon it. The thing that also fell out of place that we mentioned on our walk, was the Greg confession, handjob confession. I just don't know. I just felt like he would not have done that at that time, or Logan wouldn't have. Logan would have told him to fuck off. You know, it's like, oh, can I just have a word? It's just like, no, Logan would have just been like, well, fuck off.
Yeah.
You know, I felt that was a little bit off.
It was weird. I didn't really understand why. I feel like it span out of control, because I feel like I can understand why it's there. They want to show that Tom still is insecure, tormenting Greg. He's still not sort of earned his place in Logan's inner circle, and Greg is sort of still going to be, he's always going to be his punching bag. I just thought the way that they did it was just really silly. And the fact that Greg goes up to talk to Logan, we never actually see the conversation, I thought was weird. Like, But as you said the other day, like, in, sort of him coming back with what Logan said is sort of maybe funnier than watching it. But
yeah,
I thought that was weak. But you know, yeah. I just want Greg to have his 20 Gregs working for him. That's what I want to see this season.
Imagine that. I was worse to you. It's like be like Agent Smith from The Matrix, just like these are Gregs just beavering around. Let's talk about the emotional heft of the episode was Tom and Shiv's finale. Excellent observation from you about the flat.
What was that?
Do you remember? You were confused.
So beautiful penthouse, and they have a desk with a computer in it in the bedroom.
Yeah, odd.
Absolutely unnecessary. I've spent enough time on Zoopla searching highest to lowest in any given area. These places have offices, they have studies, they have multiple bedrooms. It's a great, great penthouse. I don't feel like we've spent loads of time there. We certainly haven't been back there for a while.
No.
And there's a great bit.
It's not even double height ceilings, is it? I mean, what are they, quadruple height ceilings?
Five times. Like, it's crazy, isn't it? You could fly a hot air balloon in there. Yeah. There's a really good shot, though, when Shiv comes down one of the staircases, because I presume the bedroom, it's like almost sunken, isn't it? Like, it's all on a lower level.
Yeah.
The entrance. There's two staircases that are not together. Like, they sort of go in opposite directions, if that makes sense. And it's all very disconnected. There's all these lines, and it's just an amazing... Watching her sort of go, it's like an Escher painting or something, where she's kind of going down all these different components. But that whole conversation was really revealing. And, it's something they could have saved for another episode, like later in the season. But clearly, they've not talked about what's happened. They've just been pretending. And the most, I thought, just a brilliant, brilliant detail. The dog doesn't recognize Shiv's scent because she's never been around it, never trained it, never at home. When the sort of trope of someone coming
dog
in,
dog is just left in a cage,
in a training crate.
Yeah,
the sort of trope of coming in late, all the lights are off and the dog's barking, very common in like films and TV and stuff.
Yeah,
and here it was the dog is barking because it literally thinks you're an intruder. It doesn't recognize the smell.
Yeah,
I just thought that was such a great detail.
Yeah, it's true.
I love that.
And also, it felt very domesticated. You know, she's like looking for looking for a dry cleaning. She was kind of like going to like a weird kind of like little laundry room and taking her shoes off, or you know, just. I loved all of that little stuff as well, but it had. I mean, Matthew McFadden's performance in that scene was just fucking amazing.
So good.
But from a writing point of view, Shiv's weird jealousy has always kind of been there lingering. You know, if you think back to like when they were trying to get the threesome going on the boat or kind of like, she was always the one that would raise the question about an open marriage or about fidelity or any of those things, but would bottle it at the last minute. Tom would be kind of like going along with it begrudgingly because he just wanted her to love him. But she was the one that would always pull back at the end in terms of like the threesome, certainly. And here we see she's actually insanely jealous that he's fucking other people now, despite her having the flimsiest notion of a monogamous kind of relationship.
Yeah, which he wanted
all
them.
That we've known. It was, do you do all the positions, Tom? Do you do all the positions with the models over there, Tom? It was, you know, real...
And the disgusting brothers that Tom and Greg are known as. I mean,
which is an homage, as I mentioned to you. I think it's probably an homage to Rick Mayall and Adrian Edmondson.
That sounds about right.
The Dangerous Brothers. But yeah, I think, and I was watching it again and thought, is she just getting herself into the emotion of anger, so that because she knows that she's already said out loud, you know, when she said to Nan Pierce that she was divorcing Tom, I think that was a bit of a surprise to herself that she'd said those words out loud.
And
you know,
we just thought they were separated.
Kendall and Roma
were
kind of like, oh fuck, okay, wow. So I think she was like, right, well, I've got to do this now. I've bought Pierce and I've said that it's because of that Tom is not a factor in this. I've got to do it. So I'm trying to work out if she was just like building herself up emotionally to kind of like, just to get it done. But you know, Tom had just the most incredible performance then, Matthew's performance in that, the line where it was just like, where she just said, do you really want to get into a full accounting of all the pain in our marriage, Shiv, because I can do that. I just thought it was just so well, beautifully delivered and such a, because it really summed up everything, even though they've caused each other such immeasurable pain.
Mm.
Tom still loves her, and he can't really understand why he's in this position, because it's what she asked for, you know, and she has hurt him, you know, she spent years being really shitty to him. So he's a bit kind of like, wait, you're going to get me for banging a model? It's like, what? Is that where we are now? Because I've got a list as long as your fucking arm, love. That's, you know.
I also don't believe, that he's going around fucking women. This is the thing. Like, Shiv's angry at the idea that he's doing that. But I think if she said, let's work through this, he'd be there. And I think what's interesting about that scene is she's been wounded. He's been wounded by her personally. He's only wounded her professionally.
Yeah.
And she to her, that is worse. It's like, how does this look? It's a bit like Connor's optics about the presidential
There's no distinction,
bit.
Is there?
Yeah, no. To her. Whereas he's kind of saying, like, we can talk about this and we can repair the damage to the relationship. But she's like, but you always will have ratted me out to our dad. And that to her is just like inconceivable. And she'd rather, like I said earlier, like it's business to her. She's like, it's actually a bad deal. I'd rather just walk away from the deal. Yeah, but I thought it was interesting given that she won. In this episode, the Munsters won over their dad. They got the company, in theory anyway.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to me that that hadn't made her any happier. I thought she'd come home and like be this like really sort of invigorated, like passionate. She was really quite defeated. She was really sort of still not really happy. And I think that scene where they're sort of both laid on the bed and they're sort of kind of touching
kind
hands.
Kind of holding hands.
But just facing completely different directions. It's just like square peg round hole, isn't it, with those two?
I have to say, if I just spent 10 billion quid that I hadn't got, I'd be feeling pretty fucking shitty as well. I'd be kind of like, I'd be lying in bed going, oh, what the fuck have I done? How am I going to get out of this?
But don't you think, like, because money is a given to them, and also it's such a large amount that they seem almost immune to the, you know, because that is me when I spend like 80 quid on Deliveroo. I'm like, oh God.
Yeah.
But like, they have no reason to think the Gojo thing isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? It was 48 hours as of this episode. So I just think, okay, something's going to go wrong.
Okay,
isn't it?
That was episode one. Let's look forward. We know that there's a wedding coming, which will just be all kinds of amazingness, as all Roy weddings have been that we've seen. It's all been birthdays and weddings, hasn't it, really? It's been...
That seems to be the only reason they all get together is...
but like you say, so presumably it's nighttime in New York, so the next episode will be... I think it will be almost immediately after, because I think we'll be into 24 hours till the Gojo deal.
Yeah.
Is it going to happen? Because the own... Logan is now in a position of power, okay? The kids think they've got him beat. The only reason the kids can afford to buy Pierce is because Logan is selling to Gojo, because that will immediately liquidate their 5% each or whatever it is. They worked about the, it's 2 billion in total, or is it 2 billion each? I think it's 2 billion in
I think each. It's around 2 each, maybe so, 2 to 3, because then they sort of went, oh, we could maybe do 9.
So I think what we're about to see is some pretty slick boardroom poker
finagling.
I've got a feeling, and this is just purely a hunch, that Logan is going to do some sort of deal with Matheson whereby they falsify a collapse, or they delay the launch, they delay the takeover of Gojo and Waystar to fuck over the Pierce purchase acquisition by the kids. Which will then devalue Pierce, because they'll then be floundering, because Nan will have gone off and gone, great, 10 billion quid, thank you very much. Yeah. And then they're going to sweep in, he's going to swoop in and sort it all out. That's what I think. Because we know that we're going to see Alexander Skarsgård. We know that Stewie's in it. Mm-hmm. We also know that we, I think maybe... Who else did we see in there? Forget what I said. So we know that Stu is in it.
Yeah.
Some way, shape, or form. And I think he's going to be the last resort for the kids. So that's what I think is going to happen anyway.
Okay.
Logan is now holding all the cards, despite everyone thinking that he's beat. Mm-hmm. He's only beat because he's selling to Gojo, and he doesn't have to. If it doesn't feel right anymore, he won't do it.
The Gojo deal could not happen.
Yeah.
My thinking, after going through the episode a little bit this morning, Nan has played Logan off against the kids to figure out how much Waystar's worth, and she's going to try and sell Pierce to Gojo instead.
Okay.
That she's going to go, look, you're selling your media arm to this tech company. I'll, you know, all he needs, he's like, we've got the tech, we haven't got the content.
Yeah.
Maybe she's going to undercut them.
She's going to go, well, look, we're going to have a Democratic president very soon. You're going to need a left leaning. Yeah, that's a good.
I think there's just something about Nan. She's not done yet. And I knew she was in this season. I did not expect her to see her so soon.
No.
And I just think something about this. It all feels like a chain on a, you know, when you buy a house and you sell a house and there's a chain. It all feels so delicate.
Yeah. It's all hanging in the balance, isn't it?
I can't wait. It's such a good episode. Me neither. Well, any other top line bits that we haven't touched on? I don't think so.
I think we've been through everything there. And look, we've got tons to do. I'm supposed to be shopping in Milan forever, so I'm going to have to get going.
Well, I'm going to go and acquire some media companies later this afternoon.
Welcome if this is your first time to Dragoncast or to the Sound of Succession. We do cover loads of shows, as I'm sure you'll have seen if you've looked at the podcast feed. We do House of the Dragon, we do The OA, we've done Game of Thrones rewatch. We're kind of mid through that. But do stick around and let us know what you think. If you've got any predictions, at Dragoncast_pod on Twitter, or email us dragoncast@daftdoris.com. Have we missed anything? Because there's always stuff that we miss. You know, one of the little things that you've spotted. And we're happy to go and do some investigating on your behalf. If you've got any questions, do get in touch. But until then,
this is the Sound of Succession podcast with Jamie East and Chris Mandel, who's part of the Dragoncast series, where we talk about the best TV shows in the world. HBO, please don't sue us.
You know what to do, like and subscribe. Fuck off.